Hi and welcome to SEL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name is Rob from robnumphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a great week. It's 8:30, sorry I'm past, in the evening in Gosport, which is in Hampshire on the south coast of the United Kingdom. And feeling a little bit tired today. We've had Valentino over, our grandson, and the last few days, and he woke up at about 2:30, 3:00 this morning, and I got up and gave him a cuddle and stopped him crying. So I'm feeling a little bit jaded now, but bear with me, and hopefully I'll have some words that might be of interest over the next 15 to 20 minutes or so. And what I want to talk about really is a new camera from Polaroid, and a little bit about a small photo walk that I did the other day that raised some, I don't know, some issues about photo editing and the type of photo editing I do, and made me kind of question a little bit about what I was doing and whether it had any integrity or not. But first, a word from SEL sponsor, GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is a way that people who don't like conference calls can have productive conference calls, but most importantly, are very effective, but also cost very little money at all, because you're not going to be spending any money on transport costs, because it's all based around the internet and working over your computer through voice conferencing, and the fact that they can see your computer screen, so everybody in the meeting, if they can see maybe the plans or the pictures or the schematics or the agenda that's on your desktop. But now with their new HD Faces feature, they can also see you, because you can have a video conference call with GoToMeeting. Don't worry about paying for it though, because you can try it free for 30 days. All you have to do is visit the URL gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast. So just go to gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast. Give it a go for 30 days, and I'm pretty sure you'll love the way that your conference calls will suddenly become a lot more useful and a lot cheaper too. Okay, so Polaroid, the Z340 instant digital camera, has just come out, just been announced, it's been shown at one of the photo shows. A really fascinating device, because as we all know, Polaroid, as we know it, kind of ceased to exist a couple of years ago. With the fact that they used to charge too much for the film, I think, lots of the cameras were a bit naff with the later 600 series ones, and the fact that digital came in and kind of blew away the need for people to have instant photography, because they didn't need the prints, because they could see them on the back of the camera, they could see them on the computer. I know they weren't printing them out like they should have been, but Polaroid basically didn't react, didn't evolve in a similar way to actually Kodak's, could well be going as we speak now, and kind of ceased to exist as we know it. But the name of Polaroid lived on, that kind of nucleus of this new company that probably a lot of people, including myself, were very sceptical about, because you saw the likes of the Impossible Project, who were spending their own money and putting a massive effort into recreating these old Polaroid films so that we could use them on our 600 series cameras and our SX70 based cameras. You had the likes of Fujifilm, who still make instant cameras, who still make instant camera film, not only for their Instax, Instax Wide and Instax Mini range of cameras, but also they still make the pack film for the old Polaroid cameras. You know, I find it amazing that Fujifilm make film for cameras that they don't make, and I don't think they ever made, but they still make FP, 100C, the colour, and FP 3000B, the black and white one that you can put in your old pack film camera, your old Polaroid one, or the Polaroid back for your Hasselblad or whatever, and you can shoot these amazing instant analog photographs. And Polaroid kind of ditched all that because they went out of business, and then the name Polaroid, I mean, you walk around your grocery supermarket now and go to the electronics department, there's probably some Polaroid digital frames. I think I saw a Polaroid digital set-top box the other day. So the name has just been sold off and franchised to different people to use, which is a real shame. But there's been a resurgence from the company. They started to sell a rebranded Fujifilm Instax Mini as a Polaroid 300, which is an interesting start. But now they've produced their first, I think their first, real instant camera that's come from Polaroid in a long time, the Z340. Imagine, if you can, a camera that looks very similar to the old Spectra-type design and Polaroid camera, or even a slightly flatter 600 integral-type camera. It looks like that, but the internals are totally different. This is not an analog process at all. It's a 14-megapixel camera that has what's called a zinc printer as part of it as well. So you still press the button and it'll take the picture. But instead of the photograph popping out of the bottom straight away, you can choose which photo you want to print because they're saved to the SD card. And then, about 45 seconds later, if you do choose to print it, the photograph will come out of the bottom and then you can look at it that way. And you can not only choose to have full bleed pictures as well, but you can also choose to print them out with the traditional Polaroid white border around the top that way. Really fascinating. And what I do believe, although I haven't seen one in the flesh or seen any in-depth reviews about it either, you can choose to add effects to your images as well. So fingers crossed, touch wood, hopefully they've put some presets in there. So you can take your photograph and you can say, actually, I want this to look like a faded SX70 photograph. Or how about I want it to look like a 600 series saturated colour photo? Or how about I'd like it to look like a black and white pack film photo, and then you say print and it pops out. The camera itself, I think, is about $300 or about £230 in the UK, and the paper is about $12.99 for 30 sheets, which is about 43p each, which is a lot more expensive than, say, printing out digital photos, and a little bit more expensive than Fujifilm Instax. But remember, with this type of instant photography, you're only printing out the winners. Now, every time you press the shutter with an Instax camera or with a pack film, you've exposed the film and that's it. Even if it's a duff one, you've spent that money on that particular piece of film. Whereas with the Z340, you can choose which one. So if you take one with your thumb over the lens, or somebody walks into the shot, or you just don't like it, you just don't print it out. And of course, all these photos are also stored on your SD card as well. So you can take them out, take them home, print them out on a normal printer, or take them to your local photo lab, print them out that way as well. But you can have this camera with you when you go to parties, family events, be snapping away and be handing out images in exactly the same way that you used to do with your old Polaroid cameras, and as you can still do now with your Fujifilm Instax wider mini or an old Polaroid pack film camera with Fujifilm pack film inside it. So really good. So look out for the Polaroid Z340 out at Christmas. I'll try and beg Polaroid UK, if there is such a thing, for a review copy so I can have a go. I doubt I'll get hold of one because it's incredibly difficult to get demo copies of anything out of any company unless you're an accredited journalist for a newspaper, a magazine, or a big website. But it does look very interesting indeed. And I just hope that enough people buy this to keep it going and maybe bring the price down a little bit more and see what other instant photography type products this sort of reinvigorated Polaroid company can come up with. But it does raise an interesting question, doesn't it? Dramatic pause while I have a cup of coffee. Will it be the same? When you take an instant photo with the Polaroid Z340, which is then printed out, which you then add a digital effect to, and then print it out, is that the same as taking a picture with an old SX70? What happens if they look incredibly similar? Is it more? Is there more truth in doing it the old way, with an analog process, with real chemicals and real film, in inverted commas, or to do it the simulated way with a digital camera and a nice lens that can probably take incredibly crisp photos, and then we're adding things like a vignette and flattening down the colours and adding a cast and then spitting the photograph out the front? Because I kind of asked these questions of myself the other day. As you know, I'm a store manager for Machine Mart, which is a company that sells machines and tools, lots of them. And I'm based in Portsmouth, but I do get called to go and visit stores and cover other stores in different parts of the country. And on Thursday, I had to go to Brighton, which, although it's only 60 minutes down the road, as the 60 miles down the road as the crow flies, because of traffic and things, it can take a lot longer. And I decided to leave quite early. I left at 6 in the morning, planning to get there for about 8:15, and I actually managed to get there for 7:30 because I didn't hit a single queue at all. So I got there and I was like, what am I going to do? Nobody else was there, so I couldn't get in the store to have a cup of coffee or anything. So I thought, I'll go and have a cooked breakfast at the Sainsbury's opposite the store. But unfortunately, the Sainsbury's didn't open until 8. I don't think they had a cafe there anyway. So I went to the petrol station and got a coffee and a bacon sandwich. And then I thought, right, I'm just going to go on a quick photo walk. I've got my phone with me, the HTC Desire Android phone, which has quite a, it has an all right sensor in it. And then I thought, I'll do a quick walk. But then what I'm going to do is I'm going to edit the photos using Vignette, which is a really cool app for editing photographs on Android phones. So the paid version is better because you can then edit full-size photographs, full resolution. And the free version, it just has a smaller size. It's probably similar to Hipstamatic or any number of different apps on iPhones and sort of Apple devices. But it's really good because it has lots of film effects. And I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to really try and manipulate these images, edit these images using Vignette to make them stand out more. And I'm also going to add the photo frames to them as well, the borders that you can. So I did this really simple photo walk. I just got out of my car and there was this building just down the road. It was the tall one that looks like a sort of office block. If you go to rubnumphoto.com, I'll put the link to the article I wrote about this subject, and it was a building called Enterprise Point. So I walked up there, snapped a few pictures of that. There was like a building site in the middle. This photo walk was basically a square of about half a mile, and so there was lots of interesting graffiti around people's front gardens. There was a church as well, and I just took a few. I don't know, probably took about 20 to 30 shots, and then edited them, a selection of them using Vignette. And I did things like cross-processing. One of my favourite presets in Vignette is the toy camera one, where you can have toy camera normal, which is just to make things a little bit more saturated, and adds Vignette on the edge, or you can have toy camera black and white, which does a similar thing, but in black and white. And I did the cross-processing as well. And then I added some borders as well, and the borders included my favourite ones are the ones that are called the instant transfer. So this would be where, if you're doing it for real with film, you would take you can't do a 600 film, but like an SX70 print from a Polaroid camera or a pack film. And what you're doing is you're basically using it a bit like a stamp to transfer the photograph across, but it involves peeling off part of the backing, and you end up with this rather nice looking edge, which is a little bit rough, that looks a bit random, and I really like those, so I added some of those. And I even added some of the film strip type border as well. So if you're using like a lomography camera that takes pictures on the whole of the film, so you get the sprockets in as well, and then the top bits are exposed. I did them as well, and I kind of had to force myself to do this as well, because traditionally my editing is quite, especially recently, has been quite vanilla. You know, I tend to increase contrast, play around with levels, make the blacks blacker, make some of the whites whiter, maybe add a little bit of detail, and then it tends to either be black and white, or I'll stick with colour, and that's about it, really. You know, I'm not big into toning pictures, doing sepias or anything like that much anymore. I'm definitely hardly ever, in fact, it's probably a long, long time since I've ever added a border digitally to a photo and done it that way. But I forced myself to do it, because undoubtedly, When you are editing your photographs, it does make a difference if you add a border or you add effects to them. 99% of the images we look at are online on whether it be Facebook or whether it be Flickr or some other photo sharing site. And if you do add a creative border, it can add, it lifts the image, I think, off the screen a little bit. You know, I think you can go too far, and people, you know, if you have too many borders, it can detract from it, but I think it does help. And by forcing myself to add these, you could say, over-the-top borders to my image, it was getting that into my arsenal of possible things I can do creatively with my images. However, it just as that new Polaroid Z340 digital instant camera does, doing this kind of made me think, well, is it a bit artistically bankrupt to add the simulation of film effects to a digital image? Because after all, why not just use the film instead? And the answer to that is, I couldn't afford to blow a roll of 35mm film, you know, for 10 minutes and then get it developed and scanned in the way that I did. I would just never shoot that. You know. But because I was shooting digitally with my camera phone, it meant that I could get out of the car for 15 minutes, do a quick photo walk before I went to work, and then edit them that way. I do think that there is a question mark about, I don't know, and maybe this is just me, there's a question mark about the integrity of photographs, especially the ones where I've added the 35mm sprocket hole to a digital image, because I do kind of look at them and think, you know, does it really add anything to it? And I think, if that image was really taken with a sprocket rocket or something where I was exposing the sprocket holes, then that would be cool, but as it is, I don't know. I don't really like that. I think lots of the other borders that aren't, you can't immediately say, yeah, that's because it's film. I think they're fine. And I think editing your digital images so that, you know, they've got grain or they've got vignettes or they've got saturated colours or less than saturated colours is more than fine as well. But I do battle sometimes thinking that, are these photographs I've taken and edited just a little pedestrian, a little bit banal, a little bit boring? And by adding these different presets, these different effects, am I just kind of livening them up that way? When really it's the subject matter or the light or the composition I've used has been a bit naff in the first place, and I'm just trying to use post-processing as a crutch to lift these images into something more than they really should be. But there we go, just something to think about, because I think one of the people who commented on the post, you know, said, you know, we live in a digital world, and, you know, we wouldn't think twice about adding a frame to a photo or a painting we were going to add on our wall. So why do we think about and question it when we're adding it to our digital files? That way, I think that's right. I think you've got to dive in with both feet. There are no rules. You know, it's always a question of personal taste and what works best for you as a photographer and for the photograph itself that way. So I'm going to continue to play around with some of the more different types of processing. And I'm going to enjoy doing it. I'm going to push the envelope and I'm going to challenge myself with this stuff, because a bit like, I used to do quite a lot of HDR work, and I do like well done HDR images, whether that be ones that you don't know are HDR images or the ones, I'm going to do a post about this or a podcast about this, you know, the ones that Trey Radcliffe does that occasionally look very, very rendered. So what I mean by that is you look at them and you think, as a computer made that image, you know, they look like almost something like out of a computer game, and I'm not sure whether that's photography or not. Obviously, that might sound a little bit strange, but I don't, if something has got so much computer processing power behind it to create the final image, are we stepping away from photography and moving into the world of the visual arts more than if with photos that are less post-processed. And that, but I still like the look of the photographs. I think they're great. So I think by trying these things, like I used to try lots of HDRs, but now I've stepped back from doing HDRs. By trying lots of these different types of processing, and then what undoubtedly what I'll do is I will then step back. I'm kind of pushing the envelope, and then I will step back and kind of find the stuff that I'm happy with. Because the other thing that I mentioned in the article as well was, am I, by applying presets and by applying these looks of photographs, diluting and losing any sort of style that I'm developing as a photographer? Because in the end, if you do keep using the same photo editing software and the same presets, lots of your photographs do end up looking very, very similar. And by doing that, am I diluting this my own style that undoubtedly I will be developing as time goes on? Because you can't help it. It's something that just happens. But there we go. That's enough from me for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Please go over to robinhardphoto.com and add your comments, your thoughts, your questions, your ideas to the thread about the show or about the article about digital as analog. Or you can always email me, just scalespeeder@gmail.com. That's scalespeeder@gmail.com. Go over to the Flickr photo group. Just join Flickr. It's free. Find the robnumphoto.com Flickr group, and there's photos in the pool, or you can open up a new discussion. Remember, this month's assignment is night photography. I've yet to do some. I better get on with it because we're almost halfway through the month. But most of all, this week, as ever, I'd like to thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robnumphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.